If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael. All
right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody. I would like for you to know that we have been mixing sound all evening trying to make this sound as pleasurable as possible as I use all the P's that I possibly can to make sure.
Good thing there's a little foam filter on the end of your microphone there, bro.
Yeah, I'm testing all of our equipment. So, hey.
Yeah, hey.
We're back. Did you know that the big game is coming up on Sunday?
Yes, because it's a game that we can't actually say by name.
Can we not?
Well, we probably could. We're not.
Because we're educational, right?
Yeah.
Is that our...
Well, I don't know if we could hide behind that because news stations can't say it.
Unless they are KLBK or whoever is
or
CBS
who's covering it. Yeah. The big football game. The ultimate NFL game of the 2018-2019 season is on Sunday.
Who you got, man? You got the line is still, it opened, I think, Pats plus 0.5 or something like that, basically a pick 'em. And now it's landed to where the Pats are favored, minus 2.5. Who you got with your hypothetical $100 bill?
I'm giving Michael as big of a shrug as I can do.
No shrug?
I have no idea.
Are you really even that interested?
Not anymore. Not since 2 weeks ago.
Not since the Pats are in it again?
Yep.
How many have they been in since 2001? Is it 7 or 8? I don't even care. Let's not look it up.
Yeah, I was going to go back and look at all that. No, I don't care.
I don't care either. I do wish that the Chiefs would have made it, obviously.
Been much better than the Patriots again.
Agreed. We're in a death spiral of Warriors, Patriots, Bama, Clemson, Warriors, Patriots, Bama, Clemson, over and over until we're all dead and our children have died and the sun has engulfed the earth.
They won't know that there are other teams out there that can win championships.
No. They won't even be worth ranking. We're just going to stop college football rankings altogether.
No, it's going to be
1 and 2.
Alabama, then whatever the chump is that has to face them.
Clemson, Bama, then Salmon, and Black Betty, Bambalam.
All right, so I think the most
Clemson Tide. Sorry, I had to get that one out.
Roll Tiger. That actually kind of works with Roll Tide.
Roll Tiger at Clemson.
I'm actually really proud of myself.
Clemson
right now.
Tide. They just win all the games. It's going to be like an Idiocracy thing someday. It will be the South Carolina, Bama, Clemson, Tide, Roll Tigers.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure if you were to combine the top talent from both of those teams, they could beat an NFL team.
Oh, of course.
Because that's a thing.
Let's have that. Hey, okay. All right,
no,
so
let's
the
not.
game's kind of whatever.
It's the prop bets that we're most interested in.
I finally found a great link for the prop bets at Odd Shark. And guys, y'all need to dig into this.
Shout out to Kyle for getting us looking at so many betting lines the past few months.
So many hypothetical $100 bills have just been flying. There's all sorts of stuff. Okay, I'm not going to focus on this too much because we do need to get to our currently red hot Red Raider basketball team and discuss how well they're doing.
As of Saturday. Or
no,
really yesterday.
No, yesterday. Saturday they weren't really red hot. Yesterday they were Brandon Iron hot yesterday. But today...
The sheer number of possible prop bets just really goes to show you like What a degenerate society we have that
people love to put some money on some stuff.
Coin talk. Like, it's a minus 105.
Yeah.
On both. Like, really? It's a 50-50 chance? Like, no, that can't be right.
This is really, okay. I've got a couple of keepers that I would put some money on.
Is it a Tom Brady MVP?
Plus 125? Those aren't any fun.
Hold on, though. Hold on. There is plus 40,000.
For who? Like a kicker?
James Devlin.
I don't
or know. Matthew Slater.
Is that the long snapper?
That's first off, like, how bad of a game would you have to get to whoever those players are? I'm gonna search it real quick.
Okay, you search those. I've got a few here that I want to highlight, such as who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first in his speech?
Okay,
which it covers everybody. You've got teammates at plus 175. God at plus 190. Teammates is somehow, I think, favored before God, which doesn't make any sense to me. If you've heard any athlete speak, usually the Almighty gets the first mention. Family or family member at plus 500. Owner, plus 550. Oh, gosh, who's going to do that? I'd like to thank Robert Kraft. Okay, city, plus 1,000. Coach, plus 1,100. Or does not mention any of the above, plus 400. Who would you take in that? I would definitely take God plus 190. That's going to be the first.
Well, see, here's the thing. Mention. That feels like what the younger crowd would go with. Like that's like a college, like, I just won the Heisman. I want to thank God. I want to thank my family.
I guess so. I still see it a lot in the NFL, though.
So
you're going to say city, aren't you?
No, I don't think either one of these teams.
To the city of Foxborough.
Thank you, Los Angeles, for supporting the Rams for so many years.
Yes, just
while we were in St. Louis.
Never failing, always there for us. Thanks. Thank you, St. Louis.
Gosh, I'm going to go with family.
That's pretty good. That'd pay off pretty well, plus 500.
Tom Brady's going to get there. I just want to thank Giselle for allowing me to have all this time off to go play this sport that I love so much.
For keeping our bank accounts stocked.
But Keith has a problem with that.
Yeah. Oh, of course not.
Okay, so I found out James Devlin, or Devlin.
Yes.
Is the fullback for the Patriots.
I almost guessed fullback. You're going to think I was...
Matt Slater is a special teams wide receiver for the Patriots.
So
those are the plus 40,000 players.
I'd put a nickel on them.
Well, at that payout, hold on.
You never know. You might get a...
I have a calculator here somewhere.
Well, it kind of works weird. I can't even do it. So if you... What if you did $100, you would win $40,000? That's how that works, right? Then you need to figure out what a nickel would get you.
No, it would get you $4
million. What?
No, you're right.
No, I think it's all based on...
It's $40,000.
$100 bucks, yeah.
Should.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know, with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, all right, a couple more, and then we'll move on. How many plays will Tony Romo correctly predict during the game?
This line's way too low.
The line's at 7.5.
Way too low.
What are you doing? You taking the over?
Over by a mile.
You think he's going to predict...
Dude, he was doing like play by play of a drive.
Over is minus 140. Under is even.
Yeah. Give me the over.
All right.
All right. If you were to bet a nickel on James Devlin winning the Super Bowl MVP, it would pay out $8,000.
That's pretty good.
On a nickel bet.
Okay. I had...
Put me down, bro.
Okay, I've got...
Because I ain't losing much.
I've got one more. This is always the big one. How long will it take Gladys Knight to sing the U.S. National Anthem? And the line is set at 1 minute 47 seconds.
Well, see, I'd have to go like look at it like a normal recording is. Just of some... It'd have to be her. Of anybody.
I would take the over. Which is...
Give me the under.
You're taking the under.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the over is the line on that's minus 160.
So the over is plus 120. I'd have to bet 120 to get 100 back.
No, I think that's other way.
No, I'd bet 120 and I'd get 220 back.
Man, we should have looked this up before we started recording.
I
always forget this.
My favorite, though, of all these is the how many replays will be shown of Ted Rath holding Sean McVay back. And here's the thing. This number is ridiculously low. Over. So the line is set at 1.5. Give me the over. Give me like over.
Oh, yeah. Definitely give me the over on that. They're going to show that at least thrice. That would be my
thrice. All righty.
Oh, one more. Because this is a podcast that started out.
Oh, my gosh. Look at
about Bitcoin.
Okay. So
what will happen to the price of Bitcoin during the Super Bowl? Price is more at the end of the game? Or prices less at the end of the game. If you're going for prices less, you have a line of minus 110. Or odds of 110. Excuse minus 110. And if you're going for more, you have a minus 130.
I want to figure out like where those lines came from and like what the outcome of the Super Bowl has to do on the price of Bitcoin.
I'm sure someone has done a very in-depth study on it. And came
or
up
maybe
with
they just threw that out there.
Yeah, nobody's going to bet on this.
Okay, so when we say we're not looking at any more, on the page we're like maybe, what do you say, like a fourth of the way down the page?
Oh, yeah, and we skipped less a lot. Less than that? We skipped a lot.
No, we skipped a lot. We're down a quarter of the page. And
yep. So yeah. If y'all want to go check them out, oddshark.com/, I can say it this way because this is technically what's called, /super-bowl/props.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
All right, so the very end of the list is like total receptions for receivers. Oh, it's total receiving yards. Oh, those are like just stats based. All right. So the big game is on Sunday. Do you have any plans?
Not really. I think
we don't either.
We haven't really thought much about it. I'm sure something will be cooked and we will eat it, but we'll just probably stay around the house.
There will be food consumed, yes.
Yeah, we're just going to stay around the house because it's a school night and... The little one's got to be in bed by 8, so
yeah.
Let's just stay home.
Speaking of cooking and consuming food, there will be much to do about some random to-be-determined sporting event this spring at 23 Personnel Headquarters South.
Oh.
After we get the smoker.
Oh. Am I invited? Are you inviting 23 Personnel Nation?
I'm inviting 23 Personnel contributors from the Lubbock area.
Okay. All right. That narrows down the list. It's a very exclusive list currently.
I'm inviting those that are currently in our Slack chat.
Okay.
There. That live in the... Well, I'm not going to say they have to currently live in Lubbock because like Seth, Brian, Dan,
yeah, what if they're
Travis,
in town for
you can all come
a ball
out.
Game.
Yeah, of course. I haven't determined if we're going to do it on like... Like I don't want to say like the spring game because we'll probably just go to that and not watch it on TV because that's really lame. But there's not a whole lot left that we would watch a game instead of go to a game for the spring. So maybe like if there's a good baseball series, but I know it's going to be difficult to get Keith away from a home series. So it wouldn't be a home series.
Possibly, I don't know how soon you're thinking, but possibly the Kansas game just because getting tickets to that will be...
We'll see.
Difficult.
I'm going to be at that game.
Oh, you're going to the Kansas game?
Yeah.
Lucky for you.
Yeah. Well, we are major sponsors of Texas Tech Athletics, and we have a sponsorship of Kid of the Game. And
oh, that you told me all that.
Little
I think
G.
We talked about it on the podcast.
Little G is going to be Kid of the Game that day.
That's
just
right.
Just so we can go to the game.
That's a nice way to throw some sponsorship weight around.
Other game, like that's what I'm saying. There's not like a whole lot of games that you want to get up for to do it, but there will be meat smoked, sides devoured, good times had.
I could bring a pound cake.
No, just skip that right now.
Oh, why?
Why would you bring cake and not like some other smoked goodness?
Oh, well, I could do like that. Well, because it's kind of like wearing white to a
wedding.
A wedding, if you're the guy smoking and cooking smoked meats, I don't want to show up with smoked meats too. And
I am not going to Bogart that.
Okay, all right. Well, that's
we will have
that opens the floor.
Brisket,
smoked pound cake, it is,
or pulled pork / carnitas.
Oh, I can bring some tortillas.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some sausages from Red Raider Meats. Whatever meat we decide on for the main, it's coming from Red Raider Meats. We're gonna get sausages as well. Probably jalapeno cheddar because that's where it's at. I'm also getting our Valentine's steaks from there here pretty soon. We're gonna reverse sear some bone-in ribeye.
That's a way to go.
But I'm going to smoke it and not cook it in the oven.
Yes.
And then I'm going to sear it on cast iron. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm getting...
You will never think of steak the same.
Can't wait. Oh, okay. So speaking of the smoker really quickly, I got a shipping notification. I was talking to Michael about this earlier. Shipping notification. It is in Lubbock.
Oh, that's
good. It is here in the city. Now, it is being held by a company, a logistics company. XPO. I've never even heard of them. They gave me a delivery estimate, and they said that somebody has to be home to receive it. It's Thursday.
Okay. Doable.
Between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. They gave me a 12-hour window that I have to be there to sign for my smoker.
I would say that's bad.
So I'm going to call them tomorrow and be like, guys, can we like schedule like a smaller window? Like give me a 3-hour window.
Yeah. 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Maybe you could.
Or put me on the last, like sign me up for 6 to 9. I don't care.
That's true.
Just let me like not have a 12-hour window where I take off work and then it comes at like 7:30.
It'll be worth it.
I've got stuff to do on Thursday. I can't take off. All right. Basketball.
Let's talk basketball. We're 2-0,
dude,
since our last recording.
Last night. We're going to work backwards.
Last night was fun.
It was insane. We will have audio of a certain 3-play sequence.
I know what they are.
That you have to hear. And you all know this. You were there, or you watched it. You've heard it. The atmosphere for Big Monday was just insane. This was like, it looked like a completely different team.
They came out with a little bit of swagger.
They did, and the offensive side, they were hitting shots. Like it was, things were falling that hadn't been falling for you in the past couple of weeks. You got on a roll. You scored 43 points in the first half. Need I remind you? In a complete game, not a week ago, you scored 45. As two halves of basketball, you scored 45 points.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Last night, you scored 43 bad in the first half.
And 41 in the second half.
You put up 80 points, maybe the first time all season. I haven't checked that. Or at least in conference play.
Well, and definitely since you're out of... Well, you know, I think you got pretty close against Nebraska. You poured it on against Nebraska. I think you got in the 70s, but I don't know if we've cracked 80, except maybe against one of the non-cons.
Yeah. This is also your biggest conference win in terms of point spread. Most of them have been pretty close.
They've all been close. They've all been.
This one was 19.
Mm-hmm.
19 points.
This was an extremely fun game to watch. Offense was clicking.
Defense was absolutely smothering,
and we'll go into this a little bit more later, but they kept possession of the dang ball.
They didn't
turn the ball over, and that is one of the huge contributing factors to this win.
Yeah, so there was,
and why it feels so good.
The post-game piece that Seth wrote pointed out this stat, and we're going to jump right to it because I can't wait.
Okay, let's do it.
You forced... Sorry, I'm trying to find it. Where did I write it? You forced TCU to turn the ball over 13 times. So not a lot.
Right.
Right. That's not like in the game against Arkansas that you also won, you turned it over 21 times.
I was at that game, and I kept thinking, you know, being at the game, you know how cell reception is at the USA, and or at least for me, and I kept thinking, we're not shooting that bad. What is going on? What's the problem? I think we had 13 turnovers in the first half,
mm-hmm.
and ended up with, what was it, 21?
21.
You just said? But in the first half, Tech shot 41% from the field. In the second half, they shot 47% from the field. So they averaged 44% shooting. That's great.
That's really good.
That's fantastic. But then you almost lose the game because you keep turning the ball over.
21 times.
Yeah. That's all. That was the simple solution. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's simple for me to say it because I don't have a D1 athlete in my face trying to take the ball away.
But speaking of D1 athletes in our face, we'll have to talk about Kawhat Noy here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. He clapped back. He clapped back to the...
To everybody.
Yeah, to a lot of people on the Twitter.
Salty.
Yes.
Can you hear that? Probably not.
Maybe when you have 7 points, let's not...
No, he had 17, though.
No, but... When that video you posted.
Yeah, sure. He had like 7 points.
There was 7
earlier.
Points in the game.
Yeah. And he was.
Yeah. Let's not silence the crowd when your team has 7
and
points.
You hit a free throw. Like, okay, dude, yeah. You scored a point.
That's good.
Okay. So you had 21 turnovers on Saturday against Arkansas. You had 7 last night against TCU. But like I said, you turned TCU over 13 times. So you were +6 or -6, however you want to look at that, in turnovers. However, you scored 23 points off of TCU's 13 turnovers, which means you scored a bucket on like just about every single one of those turnovers. You converted probably 12 of those 13 into points, or 11 of 13, depending on like if there was a three or a couple of threes in there.
That will take the wind out of your sails.
Yeah, like you turn the ball over and then the other team scores on it, like
every time.
Yeah, that's rough. You shot 54% from the field.
Unreal.
Like 48% from the first in the first half, 62% in the second half. So like as much as you kind of piled on the first half, you shot even better in the second half.
Yep.
43% from three. You got Edwards had one or two in there, Owens had one or two, Moretti had a couple. And then you were 78% from the free throw line. So you hope that would be a little bit better. You can live with that because you shot better than the other team did. They shot more. They took more attempts that they got to the line more than you did. But they were going over this in the pregame right before the game started that Chris Beard needs, like he's got the one guy that's always going to score into double figures, right? It's probably going to be Culver. He needs at least two guys. A third guy would be really great. To score in double figures, if you got to four, you were having a really good game. Last night, you had four guys score 11 or more points.
Oh, man.
Mooney had 18. Culver had 18. Owens had 17. Moretti had 11. That's a lot of points.
You're finally seeing that happen a little bit, but, man, it's just been
you're
rough.
Seeing it again. It was happening a little bit more frequently in the earlier season, and like non-conference schedule. And then when conference play started, it was Culver, and then you needed somebody just to have a career night, like against Arkansas, where Moretti had 21 points.
I'm all about Tariq Owens shooting some threes.
Dude, nailing a couple of them too.
Yeah, if he continues to do that, that's going to really expand.
And he banked one. It was glorious.
And the commentators
hit the backboard hard.
Oh, it did. And the commentators, they said Francis was really grinning at him big time. But Owens, and I remember noticing this during the broadcast, Owens was stone-faced. And that was what they said on the broadcast, too.
Until he pointed at Francis and cracked for just a second.
Oh, like, I missed that.
Back on defense.
no, that was glass. I called it.
The bank is open. So your attendance last night, not stellar, but the crowd was just incredible. The students there, they got some broadcast time, some props from both the guys that were on the floor doing the broadcast, and also Holly Rowe, who was there Sunday night for the live fireside chat. Is incredible. The really unbelievable that like you can have that kind of atmosphere at not a full arena. And then to think about games coming up like Kansas that has been sold out for a month now.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to be nuts.
I say that he should continue to shoot threes, but he's currently 6 for 21 on the year.
That's okay.
But his last six attempts, he's 4 for 6. So I have a short-term memory on that.
Yeah.
So he's catching on. He's catching on late, and now he'll correct that a little bit.
Okay.
Be more of a 3-point threat.
So I'm going to hit play on something. If it doesn't work, I'm just going to apologize, and we're going to try again.
Oh, is this the...
Yes.
Over, 5 to shoot. No, look, 2 Owens. Rob.
The grown man dunk there.
And this is straight through. There's no stopping this.
Robinson blocked by Owens. Moretti lobs to Culver.
Okay, so your internet sucks. But
just when you thought the crowd couldn't get any more into it.
I love when the announcers are yelling, one, because they're excited, but two, because they have to get so loud to get over the crowd noise.
They have to compete, yep.
So at this point, the game was basically over. You scored those 4 points there to go up by 20 with like 3 minutes to go. TCU still took a timeout to try to slow you down a little bit. That's one of my favorite things about college basketball is when the defense calls a timeout. Because you're on such a roll. Like, we got to stop you.
Hang
like,
on.
There's nothing else we can do right now but spend one of our timeouts.
Yeah, we need to stand and think about this.
We need to stop you from doing this again.
Moretti loves to cover.
Oh, it stops the same place again. All right. And then ESPN shared, like, a social... like a video of that, the same video clip basically, on their social media accounts. And as of this afternoon, I haven't checked it since, as of this afternoon, it had something like 300,000 views.
Well, the NCAA March Madness Twitter account also sent out that same video.
This is great radio.
It got even better.
So good. We are.
Man, you just passed the bar there.
Dude, I just checked the score. Texas beat the Longhorns, the Jayhawks.
Yeah.
By 10.
In an empty Frank Irwin Center.
In an empty arena, because that video of...
Yeah, I saw that. And our Lady Raiders went down pretty rough tonight. They lost 105-66 to Iowa State. Not a great night.
Sorry, really quickly, the ESPN tweet from 23 hours ago, of it says Texas Tech is not messing around. 430,000 views, got more than 3,000 retweets and almost 14,000 likes.
People are taking notice of the Red Raiders.
What helps when you play primetime ESPN, following Duke too.
Yeah, that was a pretty good lead in. Not too bad.
Yeah, you're just like, let's hang on to some of the Duke viewers. And but that, really put on a show last night.
They really did. And that was a game that just about everything went their way. They played really well. I don't think they had many guys in foul trouble that I can recall. But the Arkansas game, we got to talk about that a little bit more. That was a slog.
Yeah, Odiase in the Arkansas game got his first foul. it seems like he just has to break
seconds.
The ice. 11 seconds.
And it was away from the ball, too. That was kind of a weird one to call.
Well, okay, the first, like, Odiase also got the first foul of the game against TCU. Tripled that time.
Yes, he
it
did.
It took him 34 seconds.
Yes. Personal best.
Again, away from the ball, though. I'm pretty sure it was an offensive foul, but it was away from the ball.
I think it was a defensive foul, but it was away from the ball.
Yeah.
But
dude, he's always like, he has to foul once.
He has to muscle somebody
to get into
get
like,
going.
Yeah.
Now he's ready.
Or maybe he's the enforcer and like, no, this is how this game's going to go.
This is how it's going to be.
Owens had, I think he had four fouls last night. He got pretty close to fouling out. But really at that point when he picked up his fourth, the game was in hand. Arkansas, though, it was ugly.
Not a good team. The Tech was favored to win by 10. It kind of looked like they were going to, and then they just... they were up by 10, I think 60 to 50 or so. And then the next thing you know, Arkansas was coming up right behind them and thought they were, I kind of thought they might come and steal it. But Tech played just well enough to get out of that one. Of course, Moretti had a great night.
21 points.
Yep.
Culver had 15, but so this is the game was also really frustrating to watch because of how many turnovers there were.
Yep.
Like we mentioned that earlier, 21. Culver had 15 points. Four turnovers. Mooney had 12 points, five turnovers. Odiase, 2 points, four turnovers.
His turnovers were bad too.
Like, and it seems like when you're turning the ball over a lot, it's really strange that it's Culver and Mooney doing it. Like, you maybe expect Culver because he's not like your guard. He's not your facilitator. But Mooney's supposed to be playing as a guard position. Turning the ball over way too frequently. On this season, they mentioned this on the broadcast last night that Texas Tech is turning the ball over on one out of every four possessions.
Yes, that was leading into the game.
Yeah, this is before last night.
That was before TCU.
It's going to go down a little bit, but still, one out of four possessions, not good. That's good for 238th. In the country.
Yes.
That is your lowest ranking of possibly everything out there, is how frequently you turn the ball over.
I saw another tweet today that, just as a comparison, when you have that turnover ratio go down and you start playing well on offense, you get a game like you did against TCU. And the turnover ratio against TCU was one out of every 10 possessions.
Can we just do that the rest of the season?
Yeah. Let's just hang on and to the ball.
Also score 84 points every game.
Sure.
Because
lobs, you know, everything you can think of.
Threes.
Yep. Rain them. You get your center out there shooting threes. Perfect for the night, 2 for 2, banking them in.
Because here's the thing. If you score 84 points regularly, you're going to win the majority of your Big 12 games, especially paired up with your defense.
Yeah, especially if you routinely hold people below 60 or 65.
Yeah, you've given up 70, what, once?
Yes.
So, you scoring 84 and giving up less than 70, you're going to be...
You may even have a bad defensive night and still win by 15.
Yeah. So, this is the offense that we've been waiting for. Nothing really changed except that you were hitting shots and not turning the ball over. I don't know how you get that to be your consistent play.
Me neither. Performance. It's still kind of
because your defensive effort is it's always there, right? You're
right.
Like I think the worst outing was Iowa State, and it was like what 73.
Yeah,
I don't want to go back. It's like low 70s, right? That's the most points you've given up. You were averaging giving up, you know, in that 65 range, but your offense. Just, it varies so wildly. 84 points against TCU, 45 against Kansas State.
Just a week earlier.
Yeah.
Less than a week.
Yeah. So, you know what's coming up next, though? The next part of the schedule?
Well, I think there's a team that just lost to Texas.
Yeah, really interesting to see how that's going to go. I haven't even checked the Big 12 standings, which I'll do on my phone really quickly. But Saturday, you make the trip to Lawrence take on the Jayhawks. I hate to keep repeating cliches, but like, it's tough to win on the road. It's even more so to win in Lawrence.
Well, and as Dan was mentioning in our Slack chat, they probably have even a little bit of a target on their back for being able to win there last year.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's kind of going to be a reminder, and especially after losing to Texas tonight, they might be a little bit jazzed for this one up in Lawrence on Saturday.
So, quickly checking the schedule for Saturday. I think all teams are playing. You are not in first place in the league, but you have the most number of wins. So you have 17 wins. Kansas is the next behind you at 16. You're both 5-3 in the conference. Kansas State and Baylor are 5-2 in the conference. They have that half game lead on you. So you're currently in third. Kansas State's first, which is just surprising out of nowhere, really. It feels like they were down and out to start the conference play. They just surged the top, which is maybe not should be surprising. If you go on the preseason projections, they were picked to finish second or third in the conference.
Right, they were up there.
Dean Wade came back and he does ridiculous things. They are 15-5, 5-2 in conference. Baylor's 14-6, 5-2. You're 17-4, 5-3. Kansas is 16-5, 5-3. You've got two games against Kansas to go. Oof. Iowa State has dropped back into fifth, 15-5, 4-3. But like, I mean, I don't know where to draw the line. But between first and sixth, it only goes out to a game and a half difference.
Wow.
Seventh would be two games. Eighth is 2.5. Ninth place is Oklahoma State at 3 games. 10th, West Virginia is 4 games.
Well, and that's interesting because the very next game is...
Ooh, big Monday again.
It is. And it will, at first... It was listed on the website as being on ESPN or ESPN2, and apparently today they made the decision, I guess after how popular the Tech game was this week against TCU, that Texas Tech will once again be on Big Monday, but this time in Morgantown.
Mm-mm. It's a home game.
Is it? Oh, you're right. Yeah, because we dance.
This is the return trip.
You're exactly right.
This is the dance night.
They're coming right back to Lubbock. There's going to be so much dancing.
The other game that you were competing with for Big Monday is Iowa State-Oklahoma. So they will be on ESPN2 also at 8. You will host West Virginia on ESPN at 8 on Monday night.
Two in a row.
Dude, I can't wait for dance night. It's going to be phenomenal. That return trip after all the crap that Huggy put himself into, that situation.
I don't know why he did that. I don't know what he was thinking to make those comments. And the way Beard handled them was much more diplomatic and professional than they deserve to be handled.
Yeah. The best part is probably West Virginia rushing the court like their very next game.
Yeah, because like, they beat Kansas.
Like, dude, act like you've been there. This is so unprofessional.
This is
unbecoming of basketball.
Yeah, this is ruining basketball. Kids having fun. It's ridiculous.
Screw him. All right. Monday the 4th, like we said, is West Virginia. The following Saturday, the 9th, you go up to Norman to take on Oklahoma. And then the following Wednesday, you kind of get this little stretch here. You will be returning to Oklahoma to play in Stillwater. So, kind of an interesting little stretch these next 4 games.
Yep.
Pretty
winnable games.
Hope to go at least 2-2. Thinking that there are 3 road games on this next 4 to split these. The game that really could swing, my thought is that the swing game here, whether you go 2-2 or 3-1, is at Oklahoma. It's going to be difficult there because they played you pretty close.
Very close, yes.
Winning on the road is difficult, and I've said that.
Especially when the top six teams are within a game and a half of each other.
Yeah.
Out of a 10-team league.
The other basketball news that came out yesterday, before the game, the afternoon actually, that Texas Tech has a player actually already enrolled in school, will be eligible for the 2019-2020 season, and his name is...
Andrei Savrasov.
Savrasov. He's a Russian player, was playing in the professional league there, like under 18 league, doing pretty well. So he's already on campus. I assume he's with the team and able to practice with them. Although I don't know how much attention he'd be getting as a non-contributor, but at least being able to be around the team, gaining their, you know, being in the practices, being able to be acquainted with that process, working out on the nutrition plan,
getting used to the staff, getting used to the routine,
help him assimilate much quicker this fall when he is eligible. I think you still have a scholarship or two left, so this signing class is not done. I heard that the biggest thing you're probably going for, that you haven't addressed yet, is to replace like a Tariq Owens, a rim protector, because you don't currently have a big man like that on your roster that can do both. I don't know if you're looking for somebody to do both, because you're bringing a lot of offensive talent in Jamias Ramsey. Kevin McCullers will be fully back. Kayvon Moore will be back. You've got that JUCO swing player from Idaho. I'm blanking on his name. He's scoring a bunch of points.
Yeah, Odiase will be gone.
Culver will likely be gone.
Yes.
Owens will be gone. Mooney will be gone. Francis, is he a senior?
I don't think he is. I thought he was a junior.
The guys I think I'm most excited to see take a step forward is going to be Kyler Edwards and...
Kyler made some big shots.
Deshaun Corprew.
Yes. I like Corprew.
I do too.
He and I were both South Plains College. South Plains College students.
Which they got a lot of some airtime last night too.
I heard that because I was wondering if Franchella was going to mention that, because he talked about Corprew being a JUCO player and they had to go to commercial really quick. And then he came back and kind of finished his thought and said that, you know, from Levelland, just 32 miles west of here. And I thought, yeah,
played for a great coach.
Shout out to the Texans.
Yep. Okay, really quickly, we got to go back to Kwat Noy. He is a player from TCU. The original tweet was, I don't know, probably a Texas Tech fan, was a quick video of him silencing the crowd after he hits a free throw early in the game. It's like 7-10 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what she said. So I retweeted that and said, did not age well, right?
And Very true.
I'm really frustrated with myself because he responded back. Like, he replied to that first and then like a coward deleted it. And by the time I checked it, he deleted it. But the when I checked the notification on my phone, I saw that he said, what's your job, sitting and tweeting? Or so is your job sitting and tweeting? Something to the effect of like, I live on Twitter and this is my job, right?
Right, right.
But he had deleted that. I replied to him though and said, come on, man, don't hide behind, or if you're going to tweet at me, don't delete it. Stand by what you say. Take that L and move on. He replied with like the most immature thing, and he hasn't deleted it yet, which I'm really grateful for. Because it's allowed a lot of other people to kind of chime in. And he says, I bet you still live with your mom.
Oh, man.
Oh, he got me so good.
Dude, you can't come back from that. You're going to have to quit the internet.
So I didn't reply
to
him.
Can you unplug your phone right now? Is that how that...
I could, but that's...
Pull the SIM card out.
I don't have the special tool for this dumb phone.
We've got a fire burning over there. We can put your phone in.
I'll throw it in there.
Yeah.
I'm due for an upgrade. Yeah. I was like, I'm not even sure how to respond to that. And I didn't. I was like,
just let that one stand alone.
I don't even know what to do.
It's the best comeback. You can't possibly top that.
It was so bad.
Unless a basement was involved.
Yeah. I couldn't say anything. Anyways, the other thing, I keep saying that, there's a little Twitter back and forth between the TCU men's basketball account.
I didn't see this.
Gosh, I'm so sorry. This is Coke Zero. It's getting me. Okay. So the TCU basketball tweets out 11:13 a.m. yesterday morning. So Monday morning. The TV network for Monday's game at Texas Tech has been announced. Hashtag go Frogs. The picture is of a couple players. Like the main picture is a couple players.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle is a very small picture and just says Lubbock underneath it. Right.
Oh yeah, and, it shows
it's not even of Lubbock or like the area. It's just like off the Cap Rock somewhere.
Yeah, or it looks like it's Mesa, Arizona, or something.
So the Texas Tech basketball account retweeted that after the game last night, and they said, "Interesting photo choice within this graphic. Safe travels back to Dallas." They had the hand wave hashtag Wreck'em.
Okay, and which the Dallas thing is a total knock. Right?
I didn't get that. It was so subtle, like. Oh, because Fort Worth hates to be like lumped in with Dallas.
That was pretty good.
Safe travels.
Even this
back
West
to Dallas.
Texan got that.
Yeah. Well, as somebody from Dallas, I didn't catch it. But like the Fort Worth, like if I'd grown up in Fort Worth, it would have been like, oh no, no,
douche,
no, no, we're not from Dallas. How dare you?
Those tools.
I'm so mad. Yeah, that's a good little burn. All right, we've got a couple other things we want to talk about tonight. Track team. I saw this on Twitter and I brought it up in our Slack chat and then Michael's like, "Hey, you want to give us an update?" So the track Twitter account was kind of they tweeted a photo and some results from Keyshawn Carter running in the 60 meter dash sprint. And said that he had advanced from his heat to the next one, getting closer to the finals. And then I went and looked at it and he didn't make the final run, but he was, I think he ran like a 6.6 and the guy that ended up winning was like a 6.3.
That's crazy. All That's of so those fast. Times are crazy to me.
His 4x100 relay team ended up placing like ninth. It was like 10 or 12 seconds behind the lead, but they host this huge meet this weekend at the new indoor track facility. The men's team currently ranked number one in the country. Women's team not far behind at 18 because they I think they rank like a ton of teams. But the meet had like it had USC there, Florida State was there, Texas A&M that they've always seemed to have a really good track team,
right.
And then a couple other smaller schools. I think North Texas was there, and then some Louisiana schools. I don't know. It's a big time event. You hosted. You showed off your new indoor facility. You held a big meet. You will continue to host meets there. Your team came out preseason ranked one or two.
Yep.
Stayed there after this big meet. Track team just needs some more love, so we had to give them a shout out. They did really well. I can't like read out all the results because as much as stats we went through with basketball, there was like 100 Texas Tech track athletes and
so
results
many.
That I would just bore you to tears with if I tried to go through all that because I have no interesting way of reading a stat sheet to you. But
is there such a thing?
Well, if you're really into track and the Olympic sports, yeah, I'm sure you're like, oh my gosh, he ran a 10-100.
Hashtag track junkies.
Or 200. I don't even know if I did that right. Anyways, it's available for you to go look at techstech.com. But
I think a 10-100 was CB code for you had to go take a leak.
I have no
which
idea.
Is better than a 10-200.
Which I understand that one.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Other exciting news. This week, Dinger Derby launches. We're on to baseball now.
Yep.
I'm not sure what that noise is, and I'm so sorry if it's coming through.
We've tried to identify it before we started. There is a hint of buzzing that we've noticed. We know
we've
it's there.
We've got some gremlins, and now it's like...
Oh, don't do... What are you doing?
ASMR, people. sorry. We will be better next week.
We always strive to be.
Okay, baseball. Dinger Derby launches their first full podcast episode on Thursday the 31st.
Yep.
Once you're done listening to this epically long podcast episode, head over there, check them out. He is hosting Jamie Lint as his first guest. Big get. I think he's
great first guest.
Working on getting Kendall Rogers here pretty soon too. He writes for
D1Baseball.com.
D1Baseball.com. So check that out. A couple of tidbits here before we move on. Josh Young picked up another preseason All-America acclaim from Baseball America. They named him on the preseason All-American team, which I think is his fourth preseason award. The other thing that came out, and I don't know if I just missed it when it came out earlier or what, but the two guys that transferred in from Arkansas will both be eligible for this upcoming season. So one is Bryce Bonin, that like 95 fastball pitcher. And then I'm blanking his name because I didn't write it down, but the shortstop will be competing for time with our guys. They will both be eligible. The other thing really quickly is that there is the tailgate dinner next Friday, the 8th. Got my ticket in the mail. I will go. I think Keith's going.
Yeah, I thought Keith was going too.
My director's going to be there, but she's going to be with a friend. That's kind of weird. But.
So how does that work? What is this?
Oh, we're going to Kegel Steak.
That's where it is?
Yeah.
Gosh, I haven't been to Kegel's in a long time.
Yeah, it was like $40 for the entrance for dinner and the show.
But Tad Locke will be there and maybe some of the players or?
I have to go back and look at some of the promo materials. I'm not sure.
You don't care. There's steak and there's baseball.
Steak and Tad Locke.
You're showing up.
I'm going to be there. They basically sent me a wristband and said, put this on, walk up where the RRC flags are, and you'll be good.
I almost wonder if Tadlock picked the place.
I wouldn't doubt it, man.
So I could see that being, Kegels would be right up his alley. So here's the thing, place he'd like.
I've only been there once. We need to time our these things better, because as you leaned over to clear your throat, I had to stop and burp.
This has
been fantastic.
We've synchronized for whatever that's worth.
Yikes. not that kind of synchronizing. I've been to Kegels once, and it was as an intern when I worked for Visit Lubbock. So I only kind of remember where it's at. It's like in the middle of nowhere, right? Like west of town, all by itself in this weird, like dusty parking lot.
Pretty much. Yeah. You take 4th Street
until
you hit it. That's pretty much it.
But it's before you get to Leveland.
It is between Lubbock and Leveland.
Is it like Opdyke West? Is it about there?
No, it's not that far. It's east of Ropesville, if that helps you.
Ropesville's south. That's out past Wolforth.
Am I thinking Ropes? There's another town that's basically a cotton gin. That's right off 114. I can't remember what it's called now. But anyway, yeah, you can take... highway west to Leveland, and then you can turn right.
The road
on.
Out to what the Leveland, isn't that 19th Street?
It's 19th Street, but it turns into Highway 114, I think.
But you said 4th Street, so.
Well, that's.
It's different.
There's two
different
ways to get there.
Okay.
4th Street will just about run right into it. But it's probably quicker to take 19th.
Parallel streets will eventually meet.
They will. No, they won't. Wait, no, they won't.
That's what you're saying. So excited to go to that next Friday, the 8th. I don't even know if tickets are still on sale. Probably not, since you had to order them over the phone with the Red Raider Club, and they had to mail you your wristband. But Keith and I will both be there. We'll probably have some kind of wrap-up on both of the shows. Excited about that. So, 52 minutes in. Let's talk some more football. We start with football. Let's end with football.
We don't have a ton to get to because there's not a lot of Texas Tech football news that I'm aware of, at least.
Well, did the spring football dates, was that announced between here and last recording? I don't remember.
It was.
And we're not prepared to talk about it.
And I did not pull that up at all. But they're going to be in the Permian like they were last year. I think the Lubbock scrimmage is first, which is
kind
of odd.
And it's listed as a spring game.
They will also have another scrimmage at Ford.
At the Star.
At the Star in Frisco.
I'm a big fan of having satellite outreach scrimmages at all three of the those two locations, Midland and then Frisco.
Yeah.
If we have the dates readily available, I could give that to you. But first, though, the Pro Bowl was this past weekend. Our boy Mahomes was in there.
He did pretty good.
Did he?
He won himself a car.
Well, isn't he splitting the car? Wasn't there somebody like co-MVP of the game?
I think so. He I forgot how that worked out. But Mahomes, you know, he played pretty well. He only completed 50% of his passes, but we're not going to put too much on this.
All right, it was a spring game.
But yeah, he was
a spring game, sorry. Well, Pro Bowl.
Close enough. He was 7 of 14 for 156 yards. I believe he had a QB rating of about 114, which is oddly enough right at what his regular season QB rating is. So he's pretty good at football.
It's consistent.
Yeah. It's not bad. But that was great to see him perform well there, not to any surprise of anyone, and to take home the MVP trophy.
So he's set to become the first football $200 million man.
Is that going to happen? Gosh, that would be so wonderful.
It has to.
I wonder if McGavick Nissan will give him a pay raise.
So instead of giving him like the entry level sedan, they'll give him the premium.
Yeah, maybe he'll get the Maxima instead of the Altima.
You don't think that they'd set him up for the Infiniti side? Give him like the QX50, like the big SUV.
I don't even know once you get into cars that it's just letters and numbers. I don't know what any of them are.
I just threw that one out. I'm not even sure if that's right.
No, they are Q somethings. That sounds
something.
I didn't even doubt you. I was like, oh well, I'm glad you know what they are. I don't know what they are.
Quick internet research.
Q7 Niners. They got some of those Q7 Niners in the back. They've got turbochargers on them.
Q50 is a car, not a...
You said QX50.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Oh, well, that's not yet. They're working on it.
Hold on. Maybe that's a... Yeah, there is a Q...
They're taking it around the Nürburgring as we speak.
Okay, so the QX50 is an SUV. Q50 is a sedan. That's not confusing at all.
No, let's just...
That was stupid on your part, Infiniti.
Lexus does that stuff too. Theirs is like LS970 or I don't know what any of their stuff is.
All the Mercedes and BMWs are three-digit numbers.
Yep.
Mercedes
dropped it down. They're just...
Excuse me.
It's just a 3 series now, basically.
And BMW's like, they have the 2 series, which is no, 200.
I messed that up. BMW dropped it down.
Yeah, they I think they have a letter at the end sometimes, like a 328i.
Yeah. Yes.
But here's the thing.
There's a 328 and then a 328i, and then there's an M3. Like a 3. Yeah. The M3 is the top dog.
Yeah. But there's also like... So there's 328. I think there's 325.
There used to be.
Anyways,
the 325s, I think, we're older.
We're not a car podcast. We're going to stop right there.
Well.
Sorry. I do more interesting news. About cars. Well, okay. I do too. I would rather drive it than talk about it, though. Our boy Graham Harrell.
Wow.
Moving from Denton, Texas to the Valley of Los Angeles.
From here, it's possible.
It is. USC
from Pullman to Denton to Los Angeles.
Really wanted a Texas Tech quarterback.
So much so that one of our favorite Twitter followers,
BJ Simmons, threw his hat in the ring.
Picked up on that, and at 10:18 p.m. on the 28th, all he tweeted was, "Hey USC, sup?"
Well, he needs to wait for like Harrell not to be there.
But he could.
The point is that a Texas Tech quarterback getting the offensive coordinator job at USC, by a count of having been a Texas Tech quarterback,
right, and having a connection to Mike Leach.
Well, and I'm also downplaying like Kingsbury's and Harrell's experience leading up to that, kind of by throwing Simmons into that group. But I'm excited for Harrell. That's a great step up for him.
You bet.
Feels to be a more logical step for them to hire Harrell than it was for them to hire Kingsbury. Although Kingsbury probably had the more success to point to, like, okay, we can probably sell this a lot better.
I'm still surprised. I still think that was the best fit for Kingsbury, was to spend a year or two as an OC to just kind of reset a little bit.
And, but
kind of head coach in waiting, sort of. But what do I know? I don't know anything. And
we just have a mic in Lubbock, Texas.
Right. And I just thought that made sense to me. But and I also underestimated the market of how serious people were about getting Kingsbury into head coaching, much less head coaching in the NFL. So congrats to Graham Harrell. That's a great move. I hope he does well. I'm assuming he'll really be able to put some points on the board with the talent that they have there. And I did want to point out one other thing that Simmons mentioned. He said that I'm literally going on Indeed as we speak and uploading Texas Tech QB room 2000 to 2003 as the only thing on my resume. He might be getting some calls.
Let's hope it works out for him.
Let's hope it works out. He might be looking for a change himself. You just never know.
Okay. We have Texas Tech news. Not like breaking news.
Oh, okay.
So National Signing Day, the final signing day for the 2019 class, is next Wednesday. There are a handful of spots available. We will chop that all up next week when it's official. But a couple of guys that we're still waiting on to sign, like that outside linebacker, defensive end, Tony Bradford. The defensive end from Oak Cliff, Stephen Parker. That defensive back from Houston that just won the state championship, Keon Stewart. Among those guys, there's a grad transfer receiver from Virginia Tech visiting Texas Tech this weekend, Eric Kuma. I apologize for the names. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
You're doing fine.
We will, like I said, talk about that next week. I did find the spring football dates. And on the Texas Tech, the official website has the spring game listed as the game in Frisco.
I'm looking at the same thing.
Which makes it, chronologically, it makes sense for the spring game to be the
third
last thing.
Game.
However, on the initial graphic that came out like a week ago, had the Lubbock scrimmage listed as a spring game, and then the game in Midland was a scrimmage, and the one in Frisco was a scrimmage.
Right, which seemed backwards.
It did. It also seems weird that, like, why you wouldn't finish up in Lubbock, but I'm not as concerned about that. So maybe we do watch the spring game together as a...
Right, because it'll be broadcast.
STP crew.
Right. Well, you want to mention the dates and stuff?
Saturday, March 30th will be the scrimmage here in Lubbock. It'll be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mark calendars, block it off in Outlook, be there. April 5th is the following Friday night. Do a little Friday Night Lights, which is kind of fitting that they're going to be in the Midland, Odessa area. Gravy, I can't talk. Friday night at 7, Midland Grande Communication Stadium. And then the following Saturday, again, 2 p.m., Frisco at the Star will be the spring game. Assuming that'll be broadcast to us good folks out here in the desert, Permian Basin.
Odds are.
That's not the desert. I'm so sorry. I've offended everybody.
We're not the Permian Basin either.
No, South Plains.
Caprock. Either or.
Okay, so this is on the schedule. It's on the same page as the 2019 football schedule, and it just bears repeating that this year's schedule kind of sucks. August 31st, Saturday, you are hosting Montana State, alma mater for Labar's sister, twin sister. By the way,
I know. What are the odds that we sort of know we tangentially know someone who went to Montana State?
Yep,
that's kind of cool, actually. Followed by UTEP.
UTEP, the very next weekend you host UTEP. I don't even know who their head coach is anymore. Is it Dana Dimmel? K-State guy?
I don't think I ever knew.
Because it used to be Sean Kugler. That he had those weird glasses, like flat on his face. It's really strange. And then you make the trip out to the actual desert. Go play Arizona and Tucson. Seems like a bad idea to go to Tucson in September, but you'll probably have like a 9:30 kick.
Like they did last time. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you start off Big 12 play on the road in Norman, because that's not going to suck to face Jalen Hurts. Come back home to take on the Cowboys from Oklahoma State. Here's the interesting twist of the Baylor game, returning to the campuses, is your first trip here will be your first game against Baylor, not in the Metroplex, will be in Waco at the Toilet Bowl Stadium.
Toilet Bowl on the Brazos.
On the Brazos. And then you host Iowa State, because that's going to be a fun game.
Always.
Go to Kansas, go to Morgantown, host TCU, host Kansas State, and then you're at Texas. Like, your home games this year, let's read them off just for fun. Montana State.
Yeah.
UTEP. Mm. Oklahoma State, probably the headliner.
Yeah, probably.
Or Iowa State. Montana State, UTEP, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, TCU, Kansas State. Depending on where TCU is, that could be a fun game. Oh, and that Texas game to end the season is on Black Friday.
Yeah, Friday after Thanksgiving.
So, again, you end your season before December.
Because finals.
Sure. All right. Football schedule next season. Yawn.
At least home games.
Yeah, yes. The home games. Let's look at questions, because just to check to see if there were any. 1 hour ago, Guns Up Nation chimed in and said, with a month to go, how many more losses can Tech have to maintain a top three seed in the NCAA tournament? Okay, so I'm not Joe Lenardi. I don't do bracketology. I don't even know where they're projected now. Are they like a national 8 seed?
I haven't looked at it.
Which is like a 2?
I would think you would only need... I think you could only handle one loss. I think most...
Because you were 3 last season, weren't you?
Yes.
And you were 12-6? 13-5? This is bad.
Yeah, I can't unprepared. Remember. I can't remember at all. But that was... That's got to be... Well, you also finished second in the Big 12. So they may look at that. This year, who knows what's going to happen?
6 teams within one game, man, or game and a half.
Yeah, it's nuts.
You got 2 games to go against Kansas. That's going to be a big one. Final game of the season, you're going to Ames. That's going to be rough, too.
I think at most you could lose 2.
And still maintain a top 3 seed?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have anything to do to oppose you on that one. Yeah. So, Kyle Jacobson, guaranteed 11-7 finish in the Big 12. Do you take it or roll the dice? So 11-7 means you go 6-5, 6-3 the rest of the way. So you win.
Oh, you play in 2 of those, like you just mentioned, Iowa State and 2 Kansases. So that could be 3 really easily.
You lose those 3, but you win every other game.
Every other one. Or, because you've got Baylor at home, which they played lights out against you. They won't be able to do that again.
Well, you say that. They've been doing that, though.
But they won't.
They won't lit be able up to. Oklahoma. They beat them by 30 points last night.
That's just a fluke. It's just a fluke, man.
They
it's
did. Fluke. Okay.
It'll never happen again.
Sure. They somehow figured out how to play with like 5 guards, and
they are a really good shooting team. Tech will shut that down. That's not a problem. Just like they did in Waco, or like, well, you know what I mean.
I'm gonna say roll the dice.
Yeah, I'd say roll it too.
Because a 12-6 finish may be good enough to win the conference.
With everything this close, it could be.
Dan Isett agrees. He says roll the dice. I think the league champ probably ends with 5 or 6 losses, so 13-5 or 12-6.
Especially after tonight.
Yeah. So that's the questions we had this week. What we learned, got a couple things to chop up with you guys. I listened to a podcast series or podcasters that do the Stuff You Should Know podcast. And I've been digging their Stuff You Should Know shorts, which are their abbreviated episodes where they just go quickly over something, unlike our episode. Most of their normal length is about an hour, 45 minutes from an hour. Their shorts are about 15 minutes. I found a short this afternoon this morning while I was walking to go to lunch with my wife. And it was about this may really unrelated to sports, whatever, the thread count and sheets.
Oh, okay.
And what a marketing ploy it is. And I'm going to agree here. So they were saying that they're not sure when all of the attention was focused on upping your thread count on your sheets. It was, they said, earliest they could find was some kind of reference in the early 2000s. And everybody was talking about an arms race of thread count.
That's fantastic. I've never even thought about this, but it makes so much sense.
I've
noticed thread count, and you just immediately assume, oh well, this is 600 thread count.
This is 1,000.
Oh my gosh, this is 1,000. There's so many threads.
So first off, what they do is, so that thread count is if you had a 1-inch by 1-inch square.
Okay,
that's just the number of threads in that 1-inch square. Not like in both directions, right?
Yeah.
They said, you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
They said it is basically impossible without getting manipulative to get more than like 400 threads in that 1-inch square.
I believe it.
The way that they can do that is, one, there's no FDA, not FDA, shoot.
I don't think the Food and Drug Administration.
FTC.
Okay. Federal Trade Commission
has no regulation on what a thread is.
Oh,
so it's like there's no standardized size of a thread. So they can do like a 2 or 3 ply thread, which you know is just multiple strands wrapped into, you know, woven into a thread.
Okay,
so they've started counting individual strands as a thread. So what used to be a 200 thread count, but was a 4-strand thread, is now an 800 thread count when nothing changed. So they said, really, anything over 400 is a sham. Don't worry about it. As if it feels soft to you, get it. Don't worry about spending the extra $20 on 1,000 thread count when 400 is probably really all you could get out of it.
I can't believe I try to be vigilant about this type of weird marketing stuff, and this is something that slipped by me for years, but it totally makes so much sense.
There's no way to know what is actually 400 thread count and what they're saying is 1,000 or whatever, like a good 400 thread count versus a bad 400 thread count. Or like if it's 1,000, like, okay, what does that mean? So
yeah. How can you cram so many threads in one spot?
I bring this up just to awaken your eyes, open your eyes to the marketing sham.
Sheeple.
I'm ashamed of my industry that they would exploit a loophole.
Bamboozle, really.
The FTC not having a guideline on what constitutes a thread. So, Michael, what you got?
I learned that fence staining is a racket.
Which is why I did it myself, and it looks like trash right now.
Well, here's this is why I'm willing to pay for it, because I remember when you stained your own fence and how big of an ordeal it was.
Well, it took me probably 6 hours of work, and I have like, I think I counted like 1,200 feet of fence.
Well,
square feet or whatever they call it. Like, how are they measured? Like the length plus it was a 7-foot fence.
The way. I'm not going to mention names here yet because I'm going to get another estimate just to see. But a guy came out and you've seen my backyard. It's not that big.
And now there's mine.
And there's not a lot of fence around it. But I was quoted $872 to stain this fence. I think, and luckily because he itemized things, he almost doubled the length of the fence on the alley. So that's going to take off about $270 once I visit with him and say, hey, I think my back alley fence is 45 feet, not 95. So anyway, you're still coming down to $600 to stain my fence back here, which seems crazy to me because at my old house, I had a much bigger backyard because the house was a lot smaller and the lot was bigger, just a lot of factors. And it was, I think it was $300 and something the first time someone stained it. And then it jumped up to $500 the next time someone stained it. So I think
How many times you had it stained?
I only had it stained twice because it was I had a new fence put in. Mm. And I lived there for 7 years, but I had the new fence put in probably about 3 or 4 years after I bought the place. But now I'm trying to get this one stained, and my gosh.
$900.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be closer to six, which is still nuts to me. I'm going to have another group come out and look at it just to kind of compare prices. But what a racket. If you know what you're doing, that's maybe 2 hours of work.
If you have a good sprayer and you have got like...
Yeah, which I'm sure
maybe
you
a second guy there to back roll while you're still spraying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're looking at 2-3 hours of work.
It took me eight, so just heads up.
You said six while ago.
Six.
By the end of the podcast, it'll be 10.
It was a 24-hour project. I spread it over 3 full days of work.
He just had a tent out there and just slept. Just slept when you needed to. Went back to work.
I woke up, refilled the sprayer, got back to work.
Did a little bit of spraying in your sleep.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, that's what I learned is it just keeps growing and growing. So, and my fence gets smaller. Yet the price to stain it gets higher. So maybe I'll have a report on that next week of what we actually paid. Or
I'm interested to find out because I'm also interested if they charge you, if they have to like strip off your old stain, which I don't know if your fence is stained, but mine is. And I was like, well, I wonder if they would charge me.
Mine is stained too, but he didn't mention anything about that. And there wasn't anything like that on the estimate. It was really neat how he broke it down. It was great that, I mean, each section of my fence was accounted for in inches. And you could, you know, kind of do the math yourself. And I was like,
he was hoping you didn't do the math yourself.
I don't think so. I think he just typed in 95 into his, or wrote down 95 instead of 45. And I think that was
sure. That's
it was
an
that
honest
simple.
Mistake. The 4 is right next to the 9.
Well, have you written a 4 and a 9?
Yeah.
If you handwrite
sure.
Okay.
That makes sense.
See, you can close that little loop on the top, and it kind of looks like a 9. All right, I've got one last thing, and it's gonna need some musical accompaniment.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. This week, this last week of January 2019, I officially finished all 4 books of the Lonesome Dove series, starting first with Lonesome Dove, then Dead Men's Walk, then Comanche Moon, and then just finished Streets of Laredo this week. So I don't know what to do with my life. If you could think of anything else, let me know. I'm probably just going to read them again.
You should pick up Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It's a good show. I do watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Anyway, that was all I had on that. I just needed the music.
We're probably going to bring in the theme music to that at some point.
Oh, okay. I'm good with that.
I don't know how.
It's a great show.
Or how to fit it in. But all right. Well, for Michael... I'm Spencer. Thanks for joining us again on the 23 Personal Podcast.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.